Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Broadcast live from the Bunkerize studio located somewhere within the great granite state of New Hampshire, where the state motto is still live free or die. It is not big government or bust. Here it is, Monday, July number 16 in the year of our Lord 2018. As we continue on with this, the sun is out there shining now. And lots of people are out there moving around, doing things and putting things together and constructing buildings and such. Excuse me, we're getting a new HVAC system in my building, and we'll see how that works. I don't particularly like air conditioning all that much anyway, but we'll see how the new system works, how it cools down and heats up stuff, as it were. But in any case, glad that you are on board. Now, this whole thing with Trey Gowdy. Now I know folks are kind of scratching their head about, because after everything that over the past week with Peter Strzok. I got to tell you, I'm thinking back on catching some of the excerpts of the Strzok testimony. And I am just, I don't fully understand why these people are still fully engaged and fully employed in the positions that they are within the government. That includes overly arrogant Rod Rosenstein. Now, Gowdy evidently has ruled out Rosenstein impeachment. Now, impeachment would mean basically moving to get the fire the guy, because obviously the president isn't going to fire him. Political reasons. Now, folks, for those of you who don't think that Donald Trump doesn't understand politics and doesn't know how to play the game, and is, well, he is. He knows how to play, and he's willing to play the game that he has to play when it comes to this sort of thing, and that includes, with hiring and firing people in certain positions. Now, Representative Gowdy on Sunday, yesterday, ruled out the possibility of impeaching Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, saying there is not enough support for his ouster. And there are a lot of people that support Gowdy that are scratching their head. Well, why aren't you trying to press to get support? Why aren't you? This guy is obviously an arrogant prick that broke the law, that isn't doing his derelict of duty. There's all kinds of reasons to probably fire Rosenstein that would be legitimate in anybody's eyes. But Gowdy's saying impeach him for what? Some of the things dereliction of duty, interfering with an investigation, falsifying records, lying to investigators. There's a whole host of things that you could get Rosenstein on. And Gowdy said, I'm not convinced there's a movement citing Politico's recent report that a group of GOP lawmakers are preparing to impeach Rosenstein. And he says, no, we're not. Conservatives frustrated with special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian involvement in the 2016 presidential election have long targeted Rosenstein. Some lawmakers claim he has delayed their investigation into FBI agents involved in Mueller's investigation, who they feel are biased against President Trump. Now, folks, can I say something about this whole FBI thing? Now, when it comes to local law enforcement, is your local law enforcement, your police department, are they run by the prosecutor's office? No, they're not. My question is why do we have the FBI under the thumb of the prosecutor's office? Now, understand the FBI are they're police officers. They're national. You know, think your state trooper. There are national police. And the Department of Justice is our national prosecutor's office. So how is it on a national level that, as far as I know, the only police department under the thumb of a prosecution's department is the FBI? Has anybody else thought of this? They should not be in or under the DOJ. Look, we know how prosecutors can be highly political. We know this. And we know that the upper echelons of especially large police departments gets to be very political. Well, I mean, New York City police. I mean, you don't get to be the commissioner and the deputy commissioner and you know, top-ranking people in places like New York City's police department or L.A.'s or Chicago's without being political. The rank-and-file officers, and most of them are not political, but you don't rise to the ranks that high without being political. So there's a lot of politics in play. And the same thing goes for the DOJ. And we all know that politics plays a huge role in the prosecution department. We all know and have seen or experienced certain times or certain cases that were highly political. Look, Martha Stewart thing. Highly political. So why is it that we have the FBI under this political regime? It should be, what we should be asking for is them to remove the FBI. The FBI should be placed under the, I don't know where. Well, I mean, most other police departments are report directly to the mayor or, you know, the state police, state troopers, what have you, report to the governor. Maybe the FBI should not be, it should be its own department and should be under, I know what they're doing. Because you can't have a police department that is under the thumb of the president, so they say, and the president cannot dictate and maneuver a police department. Well, that's we already do that to a certain extent because the FBIs are not the only national cops. Secret Service are national cops. The tobacco firearm, you know, the firearms, they're national cops. The marshals. The Marshals Department, Federal Marshal, they're national cops. So there doesn't really, I mean, and the Border Patrol, also national cops. So we've got a lot of them. And they all ultimately, they're all under the executive branch, and they all ultimately report directly to the president. Depending on, you know, which department that they're in, which bureaucracy in, there are different layers that you have to go through, but they're still all directly report to the president. So, and the president has a lot of cops at his disposal, obviously. Somebody made the suggestion, yeah, let's just close that. Well, that was Agent 0010 made the suggestion. Let's get rid of ICE. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that. But let's take all of the current ICE agents, the ICE budget, and all their resources and put them and give them to the U.S. Marshals Service. Now, I thought that was a brilliant idea because Border Patrol is, supposedly only has jurisdiction within 100 miles of the border. Marshals don't have that restriction. Federal marshal. And, hey, if what you have, if you make, especially if you make illegal entry into this country a felony, well, the Federal Marshal Service doesn't stop searching for you. They find you. You don't show up to court, they go find you. So, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Put border, put ICE under, and border control under the U.S. Marshals Service. Could you do that with the FBI? Well, you could. Let's face it, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is a powerful political entity. And it was made that way by J. Edgar Hoover. And it needs to be taken down a few notches. And they need to be... They need to have them be reestablished as a law enforcement organization, not as an intelligence gathering organization, because that's not their job. That's not their purveyance. They're not very good at it. The FBI is very good at law enforcement for what they do. But as far as gathering intelligence, well, then this stuff just gets political. And they don't need to be. The FBI could be very non-political, but it's got to be removed from the DOJ. If it's not removed from the DOJ, okay, so you could keep the DOJ as it is. Well, not as it is, but split it. So you have the prosecutorial side, which would be the Attorney General, and then you have the FBI side, which would be the FBI Director. And the FBI Director does not report to the Attorney General. That's the reality. And then you wouldn't have this stuff like with Rod Rosenstein. You honestly wouldn't have it. I'm not saying that we need to get rid of the FBI. We need to reorganize it so it isn't under the thumb of the Attorney General, which then would put it under the thumb of the Assistant Attorney General like Rod Rosenstein. And then it wouldn't be used or directed as a political weapon or tool. So that needs to change. So, but until then, this whole notion that there's no reason to Gowdy doesn't see a movement to get Rosenstein impeached. I just named you nearly half a dozen things. That the guy, well, normally he would be fired in a private sector for any of those things. Insubordination would be, well, I don't have to give you anything. Well, yeah, you do, because Congress set up the Department of Justice. Congress set up the FBI. That's not a constitutional department. Congress set it up. And so they have the ability to oversee. When they set it up, they put in this department that it's run by the president, but they get to oversee all the aspects of the department. And when you tell somebody who's your boss, basically, that you're not going to give them information at their request, well, that's insubordination. That's cause for immediate dismissal, in this case, impeachment. And so people are scratching their heads saying, well, you know, Mr. Gowdy, Representative Gowdy, why can't you find or gin up some support, at least among the Republicans, to get this done, to get rid of this guy, because he's insubordinate. He's not even trying, it appears. I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. But it would appear and seem to me that Gowdy isn't even going to try. Which has a lot of people scratching their heads. And some people are saying, oh, my God, is Trey Gowdy going the way of Paul Ryan? No, because when Ryan was first elected, you know, he was this gung-ho, fiscal hawk, fiscal conservative, ultra-conservative. Now look where he is. And so people are asking the question, well, is this happening to Trey Gowdy? Are people getting to Gowdy? I don't know. But look, this is another reason why these people cannot be in Washington. I don't care who you are. You can't be in Washington, D.C., you know, for a decade or more. You're as strong as you may think you are, you're going to get immersed in that swamp. You're going to get that swamp muck all over you. Well, right, I bet you if you went down there. No, I wouldn't want to stay down there. I just feel disgusted after a while. First of all, I'm not going down there. I don't want to have any part of with our nation's capital. I'll visit it every once in a while, but as far as living there and trying to do business there, oh, hell no. Not doing it. Why, you afraid you can't handle it? No, because I know human nature, and I wouldn't be able to get a damn thing done. I don't have the charisma like Donald Trump does. If I did, I'd be president. Not that I don't think that would be a bad thing. Actually, I'd hate it, to tell you the truth. I would hate it, personally. If I were in a better position, would I be a good president? I'd like to think I would be an awesome one, because I'd follow the Constitution. And I'd do things in a lot that were logical, and I'd be pushing that Congress does the same. And I'd be putting Americans and America first, and I'd be putting our veterans and our military first, and I'd be putting our good cops first. I'd be putting the Constitution first. But I would just hate living in that bubble. No freaking way. I mean, you're never... Look, Donald Trump is used to it because that's pretty much how he lived his life anyway. Because, you know, he's a celebrity, billionaire, blah, blah, blah. That's kind of how he lived his life anyway. But you're never a free soul after you're president of the United States. You're never a free soul. I mean, you're always going to be surrounded by people who want to protect you, who want to interview you, who want to mob you, who probably want to kill you, all kinds of things. You're never free of that stuff once you're elected. I don't think any former president that is still alive actually drives themselves to the mall. I don't like the mall, but I would like to have the ability to be able to drive myself to the mall without it being a huge security issue. Just saying. That's why I'm not into all the fame and stuff that some people want. I mean, I like my privacy too much. I like to be able to go where I want to go, when I want to go, and how. I don't want to have to. Well, let's secure the perimeter first, or we got to have the two or three cars because you just can't drive yourself there, Mr. Ruckles. You got to have your security vehicles in detail along with you. But screw that. You know, I would drive the Secret Service insane. I would. I'd be one of those, because you see it in the movies sometimes. I'd be like one of those presidents in the movies that find that secret entrance or exit to the White House, and I'd be sneaking out. I'd go get a mountain bike, and I'd be sneaking out just to ride the streets of D.C. every night, all by my lonesome. And I know that would freak out the Secret Service, because they wouldn't. What are you going to do? You gonna arrest the president for going out on his own? I don't. I'm sure they'll probably try to lock you down. But you got to be responsible when you're. It's irresponsible to every once in a while. Well, this is what you signed up for. If you want to be free of this kind of security and scrutiny, then don't be president. And I definitely don't. Definitely done. Well, what you got to hide? Absolutely nothing. I just told you the reason. I just like to be able to get on my, my pedal bike whenever I want to. Hey, get a motorcycle? Can you? Well, I know we're used to Obama, who's not very athletic and doesn't do anything. I get it. But I like to do things. And you just can't do. But you could do so much more of it, man. No. Do you honestly think the president of the United States gets to do any sightseeing when he goes someplace? I mean, seriously. mean, everything's a photo op. You can't even enjoy where you're at. I mean, Trump's in where is he? He's in Helsinki now, Finland. You think he's really going to do any real sightseeing? He's not going to go off to the northern fjords of Finland and see real reindeer and stuff like that. He's not Lapland. He's not going to be able to do that. I'd want to. I'd give Secret Service fits for doing it. But in any case, but this is what happens when you. That's part of the swamp down there. You know, Gowdy's been involved in the swamp. I'm not saying that he's turning into a bad guy. I'm not saying he's turning into Paul Ryan. Just asking the question, is he getting covered in the muck so much that he feels that his maverick status no longer stands the test of time? Just asking that question. So a lot of people are asking that question. What's happening to Gowdy? I think his time is up. I think it's up. I think we really need to think about term limits for these people in Congress. They shouldn't be there for an eternity, basically. They shouldn't be allowed to stay for decade upon decade. Well, rather than they could get voted out. Well, we know how well that works. And frankly, I'm not convinced that a lot of these people are actually legally there. What are you saying, Rod? I'm saying that there has been a lot of voter fraud already in this country. And I'm saying I bet you a lot of these incumbents were probably beaten long ago. But they've been able you say what you want. Even the people of California have got to know that Maxine Waters is a nut job. Even the people of California have got to know that Nancy Pelosi has got what looks to, you know, many people are saying could be first stages of dementia or Alzheimer's or some other age-related mental degenerate disease. You don't elect somebody like that. How is she getting reelected? I don't think the people of California in her district are electing her. I really don't. I don't think people are really electing Maxine Waters. But there's no current way to really prove it. So I don't. But otherwise. And this is not a conspiracy. Don't get me wrong. But this is not conspiracy. This is just how these people. And this, it can happen for with those on the right too. They can get so entrenched. That is just they barely have to go through any sort of. Look at all these incumbents that have been out there for years and years and years. You know, it's rare that they get shocked like in New York because they don't think they have to do anything. And they don't. They don't have to really campaign because they're expecting to win. And they expect to win because of certain things that they already know that are in place. And the Cortez thing in New York was a shock because she wasn't supposed to even come close. But it happened.
I'm not Rod Eccles, and I approve this message.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce? It just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide, plus what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision. Especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed. High. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I'm a leftist elite Hollywood a-hole? If so, good news. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College is now open, featuring such courses as unemployment is not paid vacation. No, Americans don't want to spend $19 for an order of French fries and the ever popular shut the hell up. Why, just listen to this big time celebrity endorsement.
I'm not Rosie O'Donnell, and I think this school's offensive, sexist, and racist.
And I think you're a giant a-hole who needs to shut the hell up. Hey, we teach a course in that. The Rod Eccles Hollywood Community College, where being an a-hole is not a guarantee you'll be an A-student.
Bring the rain.
London Breed. Yeah, that's her name, folks. I'm not kidding. London as in the city of London. Breed is in B-R-E-E-D. That's her name. You know, figure out what you want to figure out with that. But in any case, she comes into office saying there's more feces than I've ever seen. Mayor London Breed discusses her plan to clean up San Francisco in her first one-on-one interview since taking office. And she talks with NBC Bay Area. She said homeless advocacy groups that receive funding from the city need to better educate the homeless to clean up after themselves. This is this one. Folks, this is her plan to clean up the streets of San Francisco. I know that was once a cop show back in the day. In any case, she's gonna try to clean up the streets of San Francisco by getting all the homeless advocacy groups to better educate the homeless on how to clean up after themselves. Do you really need to teach another human being to use a lavatory instead of a curb as your defecation center? Now, she says, I work hard to make sure your programs are funded for the purpose of trying to get these individuals help. And what I'm asking you to do is work with your clients, your homeless clients, and ask them to at least have respect for the community, at least clean up after themselves and show respect to one another and people in the neighborhood. Now, how are they going to clean up their own feces if they don't have toilet paper or anything else to clean it up with? How does Mayor Breed expect these people to clean up after themselves? These people have, well, they're homeless, so their hygiene is very questionable. So how are they going to clean up after themselves? I'm still waiting for that. By the way, in a related story, you know how much San Francisco spends on cleaning up, you know, basically, I'm just going to say it, street shit and needles. You know how much they spend on cleaning up human waste and needles? Human defecant? They spend $30 million annually. Folks, here is a major U.S. city. And even after spending this amount of money, they're spending $30 million a year in order to try to clean up their streets because you got so many homeless that are using drugs with needles and disposing the needles on the street, and they're shitting all over the place. This is an international tourist city, and they're spending $30 million to keep it clean, and they still can't do it. And their new mayor wants to get the homeless advocacy groups to better educate the homeless into cleaning up after themselves. That's her main. No, I know what some people are thinking. Is she like that other mayor down there in California who wants to, you know, he's like his 20 something and wants to give $500 away to keep people from breaking the law every month? No, you know, London Breed is not a 20-something. I'm just going to go by her looks. I know you're not supposed to ask a woman her age, but I'm going to guess she's probably in her 50s, which means that she's not a millennial. She's probably a baby boomer. She might not be that old. She could be Gen X. But I'm hard to tell because, all you know, these California women, they either wear wigs, and it doesn't look like she wears a wig. Either they wear wigs like Maxine Waters or they color their hair like ridiculous, so you can't tell. And she doesn't look like she wears a wig, just saying. Looks like it's a real hair. Could be extensions, Rod. Now, I ain't getting in any woman's extensions. You're not going to get, no, not going there. But just saying, it doesn't look like she's wearing a wig. Maxine Waters wears a wig, and she needs that wig snatched off her head, and she needs to be put out to pasture and retired. But in any case, a recent NBC Bay Area investigation went viral after exposing an alarming amount of trash, drug needles, and feces scattered across San Francisco. The report centered around a 153-block survey of downtown San Fran, which revealed trash on every block, more than 100 needles, and more than 300 piles of feces, along with along the 20-mile stretch of streets and sidewalks within the 153-block survey. 300 piles of human defecant? Do you know, how is it, you know, you can get, in most communities, you know, you can be fined for not cleaning up after your dog. If your dog goes poop someplace and you don't clean up after your dog, you can get a fine for that. Not to mention if you let your dog poop on your neighbor's lawn or somebody, people have been attacked and shot for letting their dog do their business and people not cleaning up after their dog. But we're supposed to believe that it's quite all right, and all that we need to do is educate these homeless people into having some self-pride. Well, that's the whole problem with a lot of them. A lot of homeless people are not homeless simply because of economic conditions. They're homeless because of mental issues. They're not going to understand. They're not going to care about their personal hygiene, and they don't. So they're not going to care about you or their community. What community? They don't even think of themselves as being part of the community. And those that aren't mentally ill, I mean, they're struggling and looking for a way, so they're not homeless anymore. So, I mean, this is what these people should be focusing on. But instead, they focus, we're just going to teach these people how not to be so disgusting on the street. Well, they're drug addicts, or they have mental disorders. They need help. And your idea is to teach them to not defecate on the street, but to use the bathroom. Yeah, you let me know how that works out for you, Mayor. By the way, California Dems, California Democrats, endorse progressive challenger over Dianne Feinstein. Yes, Feinstein has gotten another slap in the face. The California Democratic Party has endorsed candidate Kevin DeLeon for Senate late Saturday in a stunning rebuke of the 25-year incumbent and establishment's favorite of Dianne Feinstein. Now, DeLeon is obviously of Latino descent. A candidate needed 60% of the vote to win the endorsement. 28% of the body voted not to endorse any candidate. Now, DeLeon, the state Senate president pro tempore, secured 65% of the party's vote, while just 7% voted to endorse Feinstein, and 28% voted not to endorse any candidate. Today's vote is a clear-eyed rejection of politics as usual in D.C., DeLeon said in a statement. Through years of hard-won progress, we have proven to the world that California can forge a path for the rest of the nation. Not to go left. No, you're not what the rest of the nation wants. Do you think people in flyover country really want open borders? I mean, well, that's what California wants, open borders. Do you think people in, I don't know, Texas and Utah and Montana and Idaho, I'd even say to say Colorado, Kentucky, Kansas, you know, Nebraska. You think they want open borders? I don't think so. You think places like, you know, Wyoming, both Dakotas, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, you know, Iowa, well, maybe Illinois, Iowa. You think those places, Oklahoma, they want open borders? I don't think so. Now, of course, you got California, Do you think New Mexico? I don't think New Mexico wants open borders. They don't want to be Mexico. I think the people of Arizona are sick and tired of open borders. People of Texas, too. I think heavily black populated states like lower Michigan, Louisiana, Mississippi, Georgia. You think they want open borders? No, they don't. But so this is, you're not going to get this kind of thing to march from left to, left to away from the west, west to right. It's not going to happen. At least I hope not. Now, in any case, the endorsement is a sign that the state's politics are moving to the left as the country heads to its midterm showdown. De Leon has also secured endorsements from progressive environmental and labor groups. Let them go farther to the left. I know it can be a dangerous thing, and some of these extreme leftists could end up in these little progressive enclaves, could get elected. You know, like Ocasio-Cortez, she's probably going to get elected because the dolts down there in her district, they can't see themselves voting for a republic. It's all party identity. This is identity politics. And I'm a Democrat. I chastise people all the time who say, I've never voted for a Democrat. Why not? Are you saying that every single Republican candidate that you voted for was the best candidate? Now, I always get people who say, I only vote straight Republican ticket. What if the Democrat's a better candidate? Well, I don't care. I'm voting Republican. So you're voting for party versus candidate. Well, you've got to be one of the biggest dumbasses out there, and you're the reason why the country is in the mess that it was in. Because just because a person's got a D or an R before their name doesn't make them automatically a good or bad candidate. And you got to start picking and choosing these people based on who the person is. Now, granted, most of the time, if you're going to be a constitutionalist, you're going to find that the Republican candidate's a better choice. Not every time, but most of the time. There have been times in my voting life where I've had to vote for the Democrat because the Democrat sounded more like a conservative and had a better conservative record than the Republican running. Now, I know that doesn't happen very often, but it does. But you don't get to vote for that kind of person if you're only going to vote for a straight party line ticket. And vice versa for some of these people, believe it or not. In some cases, doesn't happen very often, but again, in some cases, the Republican is more liberal than the Democrat running. For the Democrats to vote for the Democrat over the Republican who's more liberal than the Democrat candidate is a dumb thing to do if that's what they believe in the politics that they say they believe in. It is a dumb idea to vote for a straight line party ticket. Just saying. Now, if these jack-offs think that they're going to get away with, being more radical, look, I think the whole point is that this whole idea that the Americans do not want America to be like Venezuela is going to work very well. If somebody is running a conservative or a ultra-leftist Democrat socialist campaign, what you want to do is point out that these... Do you want your district? Do you want your state? Do you want your country to become Venezuela? Well, 99% of the American people, including those on the left, are going to say no. Because even those idiot leftists know what's going on in Venezuela. They know. And they don't want it. Well, it is what it is, folks. I'm just saying. And you've got to just make sure that these people if they're going to endorse them, let them. I know Cortez most likely could be elected, but other places you get people that radical like Cortez or this De Leon, person out there in California over Feinstein. Other people like them in other parts of the country, they will be summarily sent packing. So let them go farther left. It just means that we're going to win more. Now, will it happen in 2018? I don't know. It's up in the air. Is this whole you know, Democrat socialist wave coming on? I know. Will the Democrats gain some seats or take back the House? It's highly possible, considering the number of retirements out of the Republicans, and the fact that they're not still fully on board with defending Trump. Look, if they want to win re-election and keep the House, here's how you do it. You fully endorse Trump's plan. And you do everything in your power to pass that agenda in the House. Guaranteed to get you re-elected and keep you in control of the House. No question about it. When you've got poll after poll after poll that are showing that Trump's numbers are improving every single week, his positive numbers are improving, and that people, even many Democrats, like the direction that we're currently going, the only thing that you should be doing is fully endorsing the president right now. It will help ensure that you get reelected. Because what else are they going to run on? They get higher taxes, fewer jobs, lower wages. They don't have anything to run on. The Democrats have run against the Republican Party for so long that now it has come to a head where they have nothing positive to present to the American people as an alternative. They are actually having to run against American economic and social prosperity. And they're bringing out all the nut jobs to do that. And frankly, hey, how does the LGB community feel about the trans community usurping their special status? It's happening. And let me tell you something, the LG and B aren't liking it. But this is what the left wants. They will, once you have fulfilled or they have used you up like black people, they will toss you aside like a used, dirty old rag. I mean, you got blacks that are starting to understand this, folks. They're starting to understand that they have been used and abused. You don't see any of that. You don't see the Democrat Party, you know, clamoring to endorse an alternative black candidate, do you? No. You see them clamoring to endorse an alternative Latino candidate, though. Speaking of black candidates, where is that? Here's Cummings, Representative. Congressman Elijah Cummings is at it again. Somebody needs to give this guy not just an IQ test, but he's like Maxine Waters. There's just something mentally wrong with him. He's like Nancy Pelosi. Something is mentally wrong. Cummings slams politically charged Trump EPA program. Turns out to be an Obama EPA program. There was a story at Politico which didn't seem to gain much traction, you think? With all the Trump activity going on, however, Congressman Elijah Cummings, the Democrat out of Maryland, is the ranking member on the House Oversight Committee. He's the ranking member, and he's demanding that committee chair Trey Gowdy issue a subpoena to the EPA over their handling of both the Freedom of Information Act submissions and requests from Congress for documents, saying that Scott Pruitt's administration was screening requests based on political sensitivity. These were all part of a skyrocketing number of such requests as the EPA has received under the Trump administration. But we, what was new? What is the new secret program to allow EPA to screen incoming requests? Well, news outlets received both the Cummings letter to the EPA as well as the response that was sent to Cummings this weekend from Kevin Minoli, EPA's principal deputy general counsel and designated ethics official. What? Let's have the introductory portion of Cummings' letter and what he's clearly implying with his demand for a subpoena. He says I'm writing to request that you issue a subpoena to compel the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to produce documents it has failed to produce about policies implemented by ousted Administrator Scott Pruitt to withhold information about his tenure in response to Freedom of Information Act request. The EPA's only response to date has been an email from an EPA official providing a link to documents already publicly released under FOI. However, some of the information, or much of the information that is being requested by Cummings, is actually information that was available and being kept from him from the Obama administration. You think Cummings would have known this by now? These are programs that Trump are actually, I think, trying to get rid of in his EPA, but he's asking for FOIA requests on stuff, claiming that this is Trump administration stuff, but it's actually Obama-era administration stuff. And he's making a big deal that that they ousted this guy, Pruitt, and now nobody's responding because... You can't make this stuff up when it comes to the leftist stupidity. Well, it all has to do with their ultra hatred for Trump. That's all it is. Again, you know, look at all these things that Trump is doing that Obama has done. But Trump is getting the brunt of hatred for this when Obama did the same thing. You know, separating kids from their little immigrant illegal chilling from their parents who are illegal. Obama did that more often. Trump actually tried to stop it. And while he's trying to stop it, the left is suing him to keep him from stopping it. You can't make this stuff up, folks. You just can't. Any case, what we can't make up now is as well is that we're out of time for today, but we will be back here tomorrow. So don't miss out. Until then, have a wonderful Monday afternoon. We're getting the week started off right. I'm Rod Echols. Thanks for tuning in. I'm out.
Feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled, and you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.